This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no e's .com.
Well, we've got more stuff about Shakespeare, a little farewell to Davy Jones, and a check of your theater ethics. This is Theater Geeks News for April 1st, 2012. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour, and this is Theater Geeks News for April 1st of 2012. This is our every other week wrap-up of interesting articles from around the web and other places relating to theater, either professional or community theater. And so let's get right to it. The first thing on our list is a theater workers' code of ethics that has surfaced. This is from 1945. An actress by the name of Kathleen Freeman, who was became a Broadway star later on, appeared in as Jeanette in The Full Monty, and in August of 2001 she passed away, and she her executrix. The person who took care of her will afterward, located in her papers a document that contained a code of ethics for theater workers. And she had been part of a troupe in California. This was in 1945 when she was 24 years old. And they published a code of ethics, essentially, for people working in the theater. And it's really cool because I think a lot of these things actually apply to whether you're professional or community theater or whatever, but let me just give you a few of these. I think we may actually do an extended piece on these in a future episode with John and Marcia as well, because I think it's kind of interesting to see how much has changed and how much over, and actually how very little has changed over the years in terms of, you know, what ought to be good, you know, good ethics and good behavior, essentially, for folks doing both professional and community theater. First one on the list here is, I shall never miss a performance. Well, of course. It says, I shall play every performance with energy, enthusiasm, and to the best of my ability, regardless of size of audience, personal illness, bad weather, accident, or even a death in my family. Well, that sounds a little harsh, that last part, but you know what? I have had two friends in our home theater who have performed literally on the night that one of their parents passed away. So, and did a good job, and did it with I don't know, with gusto, good spirits, and maybe even more so because of wanting to go on, because that's the way mom or dad would have wanted it. But anyway, that did happen a couple of times, and I think that it's probably a good rule. You know, the show has to go on. There's no reason to drop responsibilities for a loved one, even though it can be kind of sad. Anyway, let's see another one. I shall never make a curtain late by my failure to be ready on time. Very good, very good. I shall never miss an entrance. Very good. We've either done it or been the victim of someone doing it, haven't we? I shall not let the comments of friends, relatives, or critics change any phase of my work without proper consultation. I'm assuming that means with the director. I shall not change lines. Good. Business, lights, properties, settings, or costumes, or any phase of the production without consultation with and permission of my director or producer or their agents, and I shall inform all people concerned. Well, that got a little legalese-ish, but basically it's laying out and understanding what the lines of responsibility are in a production, and that you don't necessarily violate those. So I think it's kind of neat. Next one. Well, I'm not going to go through all of these because I think that there should be maybe a little bit left to the imagination, or a little bit left for you to investigate as you go to the website and check out the show notes. And we'll probably talk about this in a future episode. Okay, next item on our list, Michael Billington, who is the theater critic for the UK Guardian, has written an article, Michael Billington on Actors, with a subheading, Actors, I Criticize You Because I Care. This is a really short article. He makes the case that he starts off by saying, he says that American critics are much harsher on actors than British critics. And he also says that, you know, there's a question apparently as to whether he's harder on writers and directors than he is on performers. And then it's the number of statements. He has some interesting quotes here from American critics, but then he also says it is also rare to see rank bad acting on the British stage. Oh, really? Well, I don't know. Maybe he's right, but I would think that bad acting is pretty universal. That's my thought. There's bad acting in every place. Now, for Americans have a hard time, I think, of sort of discerning when the acting isn't terribly good in British acting, because the accent kind of makes us all think that the Brits are so much more intelligent, and we have that feeling that there's sort of a classiness to it. And so it may be a little bit harder for us to discern it, but it seems to me that there are probably bad actors in every culture. Sorry, David. But anyway, is it David? I mean, I got to make sure that it's no Michael Billington. You know, check this article out. It's kind of good. It's got a couple of great quotes from some of our American critics, and it just makes the point that critics may be a little bit harder on actors than, or harder on technicians than they are on the actors, and maybe they should be harder anyway. Next article. This is really almost a straight news item that it's almost not theater oriented, except that it has to do with funding from the Canadian government. Arts funding has been, apparently, this is according to the Canadian Theater Hub, is .ca. Canadian government has pretty much held up most of the funding for arts in Canada. I know Canadian government funds a lot of the arts. It's somewhat different than it is here in the U.S. And there was some expectation that the Conservative government was going to, because of budget, the budget tightness these days, was going to cut arts funding, but apparently they left a lot of stuff intact, so the news was generally pretty good. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we did talk about the Shakespeare's Sound, that the British Library has actually developed a disc, a CD, that has recorded examples of what they have researched to be perhaps the most authentic Shakespearean accent and pronunciation that has been made available. And it was kind of interesting. We played a little bit of that on the last podcast 2 weeks ago. NPR at npr.org, and I've got a link in the show notes, has a fuller story and includes some more samples and an interview with, I believe, the gentleman, Ben Crystal, who directed the new recordings, talking to Scott Simon. So you might want to check that out. It's about a 5-minute story, and you can hear more about that particular project, especially if you're a Shakespeare buff, and that would be really cool. New York City Theater, nytheater.com, reports has a review and just an article about a revival of the show Lil Abner, which is being revived by a company in off Broadway called Musicals Tonight. Lil Abner is a 1956 musical, and it's based on the Al Capp comic strip. I grew up reading Lil Abner. Lil Abner was a comic strip about a hillbilly kind of culture in a town called Dogpatch somewhere south of the Mason-Dixon line. And it was made into a musical. It was a hugely popular comic strip, started in the 30s sometime, and went until the 70s sometime or another. And it was A lot of it was political satire, and a lot of it was just plain old goofy fun. But anyway, the musical came out in Broadway in 1956, and apparently this revival is actually kind of fun. So I just thought I'd mention it, only because Lil Abner has a really special place in my heart, both as a comic strip. The movie, there is a movie version of the musical that is out, and it's not too bad, but I think that, frankly, I think seeing it on stage might be more fun. So, but that has opened fairly recently, and apparently this Musicals Tonight is an off Broadway company that specializes in reviving rather old musicals and bringing those back to the people. Up next, HollywoodActorPrep.com has a nice little article that just sort of gives a little bit of a rundown on the late Davy Jones, who died recently. Davy was one of the Monkees and was the one British member of that quartet. The article is very interesting. Those of you who are significantly younger than I am probably don't have a full understanding of the impact of the Monkees. They were not an organic group in the sense that they didn't grow from, they weren't actually musicians initially, or not professional musicians in the same sense that the Beatles were. They were not a rock group and that became a television show. They were actors that were recruited and then became a group. And so it was kind of came in backwards, and it was intended to be a TV show, and it kind of developed a life bigger than that. And Jones was definitely talented. He actually was an actor, had performed on the West End in London, and then came over to the U.S. with the production of Oliver, and that's kind of how he got discovered here, and did a little bit of television here. And I had seen him on a couple of shows, or at least one show here, and then realized who he was later on when the Monkees debuted in 1968. But it's kind of a neat little article, and then it also has a link to a video of his audition. And God, he looks young. He looks just like a kid, because he was a kid. Anyway, Davy Jones, rest in peace, and I hope that you enjoyed that. Lady Gaga wrote Shakespeare's works. Well, this comes from the American Shakespeare Center, and they've got an article in which it looks like they're comparing some of Lady Gaga's lyrics to some of the words of Shakespeare, and it's a little obscure. The joke's a little obscure to me. Kind of interesting though, because yes, some of the themes that she covers, some of the themes that all songwriters cover, have similarities in Shakespeare. So it's kind of interesting. Similar to that, the Shakespeare Geek, which is one of the blogs that I look at occasionally for Theater Geeks News, has an article on sort of speculating on what would it be like if Shakespeare was writing country songs, and it's kind of fun. Just a few of the titles, and you can check the rest of them out. Never Listen to Witches or Your Wife. Hey, that sounds like that sounds like it could be a song. Who's Taming Who Here Anyway? Okay. My New Best Bro Turned Out to Be a Broad. That's only a little sexist, maybe. Strangled My Wife Because My Best Friend Told Me She Was Cheating, But He Lied. And that would be kind of an interesting song title. Anyway, check it out. Kind of fun little article about that. The AACT events coming up include the EstaFest Original Works Festival in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, April 19th through 22nd. That's in about a week and a half to 2 weeks, maybe. The Maine Association of Community Theater 2012 Festivals, April 21st in Portland, Maine. WACTON, WACTON 2012, is June 9th in Hartford, Wisconsin. Minnesota Association of Community Theaters Fast Fest. Say that real fast. In 2012, it's sort of a lispy thing. Fast, 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 fast. Anyway, I'm not making fun of you, Minnesota, honestly. June 16th in Lakeville, Minnesota is when the Fast Fest is. Eastern Massachusetts Association of Community Theaters Drama Festival, June 28th through 30th in Chelmsford. I hope I'm saying that right. Massachusetts. And, of course, the July 10th through 15th AACT New York Convention in New York City. One last thing, and that is our Twitter followers of the week. We got followed in the last week or so by the South Devon Players Community Theatre Group in Brixham. This is in the UK. So cheerio to the South Devon Players. Looks like this is a great group. They, let's see, what are some of their shows? I'm looking at their website. You can see latest news, previous projects. They do all kinds of shows, it looks like. There. They've done Tale of Two Cities, The Panto. It's a pantomime. I'm interested. We do not do what they call pantomime in England, here in the United States, and I've been just sort of reading a little bit about it to kind of see what it's all about. It's sort of got a kind of a holiday pageant feel. Halloween at Lupton House, Lost Templar Fleet, these are some of their other plays, The Pirate Mutiny, Pirate Improv Theater, Improv Pirate Street Theater and Combat Workshops in Plymouth. That was last year, but they've got some photos of that. Looks like fun. By the way, National Talk Like a Pirate Day is September 19th. So maybe the folks in Brixham take advantage of that holiday as well. Anyway, that's all we have this week for Theater Geeks. Be sure to check us out on Facebook. We do have a Facebook page. Also, follow us on Twitter at theatergeeks.com. By the way, we spell theater R-E. That's the right way to spell it. And just kidding, but it's the way we spell it. You can listen to the podcast at the website via iTunes. You can also use some great apps for Android and iPhone, including things like Stitcher, Downcast, which is one that I've been using since I got the new iPhone. And there are probably another number of other podcatchers that are great, but you can always find us on iTunes. Also, go to our store. We got a great little store. We got hats, cups, mugs, all sorts of theater geek gear, and you can get to it via the website. There's going to be a link there at theatergeeks.com. Next week, I am not sure what our episode is going to be. We have an interview with a New York actor doing a one-man show coming up that we're going to actually be doing on the 14th, and it'll probably get released that weekend, but I don't know what we're doing next week for the 7th, because we do not have any actual episodes in the can. We may have another news episode. The reason we're a little up in the air is because John is here, but Marsha's gone, and then the following weekend there may be some issues with Marsha's or with John's schedule, so we're just trying to figure out people's schedules. It's just one of those goofy times of year when people are either on the road going hither and thither, especially on the weekends, which is when we try to record Theater Geeks. Anyway, that's all from me. We'll see you next time on Theater Geeks. Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.